Hey Dave, sometimes I like to do voice memos. It's a little more communicative. And so this is one of those times. Just a couple of things I want to tell you. First of all, I have done the release of the software. It's as I think I said this, it's the very first bit of JavaScript code that I released when I started working in JavaScript about 6 years ago, believe it or not. And it's an outliner. It's called Concord, and of course it uses Font Awesome. What I did is I went ahead and switched this over to your newest version. I felt sorry. I didn't want to screw up your system, and I wanted to send you a gesture of goodwill because you're now a member of the No Breakage Club, which. There aren't many of us, but I'm hoping we can spread the gospel. So anyone who builds on Concord, and I'm expecting more people will now because we're moving and good things are happening in our world. I'm kind of excited about it. And Concord is the centerpiece of all the stuff. So that's the first thing. And the second thing is that, boy, now given our conversation, I've just been sort of like feeling like a voice in the wilderness on this stuff because there are all these programmers out there who will just look you virtually in the eye and say, well, you're an old man and you don't get it. And this is the way we do things. And Facebook hasn't done anything to help. They have that release often and break things or something. I forget what the actual slogan is, but it's considered the way to get rich is that you just move and you break and you move and you break. And if you look at how long these arcs go, like Python, for example, I think it was like 10 years ago, they decided to go from version, I don't even know the numbers. It's like, let's say it's version 3 to version 4, and version 4 might as well be a new language because it's everything broke. And I get it from their point of view is that they feel that they made some mistakes early on and they want to fix them because they want a strong foundation to go forward on. And somebody in the office said, well, the number of people who use Python today, it's nothing compared to what will be in the future. That's the most common argument I've heard. And they went ahead and released it, and they're never going to put it back together again. It just can't be put back together again. The only correct thing to have done would have been never to do the breakage in the first place. But once you have your path forward is in one API, one standard, one way of working, one set of names, in the case of Font Awesome, you're now stuck supporting both of them. You don't have a choice. You actually ship the second way, and you've got people who've committed to that way of doing things. And what choice do you have but continue to support it? So you can't take back what you did. And that goes equally, maybe even more so, for the basic version, because now people stopped upgrading. So you no longer have a path forward. You have two completely separate competing products. This is probably what has accounted for the proliferation of different versions of Unix, is that somebody had a better idea, and I think my thing's going to take over the world, and therefore, fuck you, I'm just going to do it the way I like to do it. And you end up with two ways to do the same thing, and then another one comes along, and another. You see the same damn thing happened in RSS. And I have to say that by the time this was 1999, by the time it came around where I had to make a choice, what happened was they did that to me. RSS did that to me. I had a format already out there that did syndication, and it wasn't widely deployed, and it wasn't really being used for very much, tell the truth. And along comes Netscape, and they come out with RSS 0.90. And I say, oh, this is interesting. They're doing what my thing does, but it's totally not compatible. So what I did was basically I deprecated my own format, which I knew wouldn't bother a whole lot of people because there weren't a lot of people implementing it. And I just adopted theirs. And I think that really surprised them at Netscape. And then they took that as a sign and they brought in some of the features from my format, not all of them, but some of them, and the most important, really. And they came out with 0.91, which I saw as a really powerful move. And that was where the fact that we had the support from publishers, that was a huge deal. I mean, they had only four publishers to begin with. Motley Fool, Red Herring, Wired, and Salon. Salon, Herring, yes, those were the four. And that was enough of a base to get going because I had the most popular blogging software at the time. So I put it in everything that I had. So all my users had it. And then we had these publications. And it was enough momentum to snowball. And then predictably, a couple of years later, the format got hijacked by some people who thought, oh, well, we're just going to completely rewrite it because, you know, it's only a fraction of the deployment it's going to be, and therefore let's do it right for the future and blah, blah, blah. And the problem they had is that, of course, they were up against an installed base that was already happy with the way things were going. Then they didn't understand anything about the installed base, so their format didn't have any advantages over the RSS 091 format. I didn't fully get that their hijack wouldn't work, and so I basically, you know, said, fine, you guys go run it for a while and see what happens. 2 years later, nothing had changed. And I took it back and I said, fine, I'm going to iterate now. And what we're going to do is move forward compatibly. And we had a rule that said, you know, an 092 format file, an 091 format file is an 092 format file. And that will always be true. Every step we take, version N files will be valid version N plus one files. No breakage. Not allowed, simply not in the format. And that was put actually into the spec, into the RSS 2.0 spec, that this was a rule. This couldn't change. This rule was implicit. And not only that, there weren't going to be any more versions of RSS. But we had an extension standard at that point. And it worked. The reason it really worked is we got one very, very big developer. That's how you'd have to think of it. Is RSS is a platform. There are several kinds of developers. There are people who make content management systems which generate RSS. There are readers like, you know, Google Reader or NetNewsWire or my own Radio User Land. And, you know, over the years, there are probably 1,000 readers out there. Those are all important, but the most important ones is the third category, which are the content developers, the people who produce feeds that's what the demand is for. The demand isn't for tools that create it or for, you know, tools for reading it. None of those things would have any purpose if you didn't have the stuff to read. And so we got the New York Times, and it was just, you know, chance thing. And I happened to be, not such a chance thing. It worked. We got them, and then, of course, everybody else came along, and that was the end of the forking. Well, not the end of trying to fork it. It just, now it became a completely impossible. So in the context of Font Awesome, what you guys did was you created a competitor for yourself. Now you might, you can put it back together. I'm speaking as a user at this point. First of all, as far as I know, you don't have any competitors to try and take it off in a different direction. That would be a problem, but I don't think you have that. Certainly, if you do, I'm not aware of them. And the cost of switching, as I've learned, is so steep that, you know, it's not entirely going to be based on how nicely you treat your customers, that they stay with you. You could be the biggest dickhead in the world, and we would still stick with you because, well, I mean, it depends on how bad you are, but you have a lot of room to make mistakes because it's very hard to switch from your product. And that in general, of course, you have goodwill with your users because your product is beautiful, your website's beautiful, it fills a really important need, and you had that really awesome video. It made you all seem like, you know, you're like a little mom and pop thing out somewhere in the middle of nowhere, which for all I know, maybe you are, but I have a feeling you're not. Anyway, so I just wanted to tell you about, what got me going on the second thing was, is that I did some development work this morning on a piece of software I hadn't worked on in a while that uses Electron, and I got all these deprecation warnings, and there were some things in there that were being deprecated that you just can't fucking believe anybody thinks that could be changed. Yet there it is. Like there's a package. Node.js works with things called packages. That's how you distribute code to be reused by other people. And this isn't, the thing they're deleting here isn't even something that someone else distributes. It's core, it's central, it's the way you make requests. It's what it's called. It's called request. If I want to go get something off the internet, I call request and I give it the address and certain options and it calls me back when it has it and I go forward. The deprecation notice I got when I did the work this morning was, this thing is going away. And I go, oh no, it's not. You got to fucking be kidding me, because I'm not going back and fixing, changing every one of the places I call this thing. It's like, what the fuck are you thinking? Yet, in all probability, there will come a day when I will not be able to run my code in the latest version of Electron, and I will not upgrade as long as I can possibly do that, and then when I have to do it, I will have to go in and make the changes. And it is the most expensive thing about the tech industry. It's the reason why you have to have 50,000 times the number of programmers that you actually need. It's why everything's so expensive and so slow, and why every once in a while we just throw the whole thing out. The evolution of JavaScript itself is, I mean, one of these days they're going to deprecate callback functions. And if you're not a Node programmer, you might not know what a callback function is, but it's so central to the design of the environment that it's one of the biggest mistakes they ever made, but it is what it is. You don't come up with another one. Well, they did, another way of doing the same thing. And that wasn't good enough. They came up with a third way to do it. And at the same time, there are all these different syntaxes for it. You learn, we're in this incredible position, Dave, where, you know, 6 years ago, I made the right choice by going to JavaScript because you could see what was going on. The whole world was coalescing around JavaScript. Node.js was this juggernaut, and it was like, okay, finally, we have settled on how we're going to do server software, and it's not going to be crud like the shit that they've been doing it on that I would never touch. It's a decent language, and it can do everything, and you might as well just go ahead and use it. And almost as soon as I got on board there, they started forking things, and it's exhausting. I'm too old for this shit. I will not go down very many more of these little... Oh, the worst one that you can't even imagine how bad this one is, what Google is doing with the web and how they want to deprecate the protocol of the web. That seriously is what they're doing. Anyway, it's so rare that you hear somebody seeing the light on this shit, Dave, that I went back and I did the work so that to reward you for this and said, okay, he's doing the right thing. I'm going to go there with him and I'll be a supporter of your latest version. And you better not ever fucking break this, okay? Talk to you later. Bye.